Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live, live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game National Studios, presented by the Southern Bank of Tennessee. Boy, a lot of people are weighing in here on this Mikhail Granlund rule. Again, this is not new. I watch the Predators play pretty much every game. I would say I probably watch 70-plus games a season. And last season, I'd say I probably watched less because I was having a child, so I was a little busy. But also, at the same time, the team stunk. But I watch about 70 Preds games a year. Plus, I do watch, in and out, the playoffs. So I feel like I should know enough of the good players. Like, I don't expect everybody, when it comes to football, to be glued to the TV from noon on Sunday. You know, I don't expect you to watch every second of every game on Sunday. But we all know who the good players are, right? That's how I am with hockey. So, by the way, Robbie Stanley texted me and asked me who Alex Tuck played for. If I knew, I said Vegas. Apparently, he used to play for Vegas. He plays for Buffalo now. But guess what? Good enough. I've heard of him. So if they were to acquire him, I'd say, okay, at least I've heard of him. So Jake has come up with a group of players. I have to guess who they play for. How about this? If I get who they play for now, or who they used to play for, that counts good enough. Fair?
Fair enough. How many do you want?
How many do you have?
I've got four ready. Do you think that's ready? That's
okay.
Good enough?
I think I will get 75% as far as this is concerned. So let's do all four. Jake, without further ado, take it away.
All right, we got the Family Feud music in here. All right, the first contestant on who he play for, we're going to go Alex DeBrincat.
Alex DeBrincat. He was in Chicago, and then he got traded to Detroit. I'm going to say Detroit.
That is correct. One for one.
All right, one for one, baby! All right, number two.
All right, one for one. Your next is Cole Caulfield.
Cole Caulfield. I know that name. I know of that name. I'm thinking either Minnesota or Buffalo. I'm going to go Minnesota.
He plays for Montreal. Let me make sure that he didn't previously play for one of those.
I've heard of that name, but to act like I know all about Cole Caulfield, I don't. That one's out.
Yeah,
okay.
He has exclusively played for the Montreal Canadiens. So
37 goals last year. Good for him.
One for two, so you got to get these last two right. Your next is Andrei Svechnikov.
Svechnikov. Carolina.
That is correct.
Ding, 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 ding.
Adam Vingan helped me out with a couple of these. This one is from him, and this you need this one to get three out of four. Jake McCabe.
Holy crap, Jake McCabe. Toronto!
That is correct.
Ding, ding, ding! Okay, suck it! Okay, Adam Vingan and everybody else out there. Bang, bang, bang. Ah!
You killed it.
I will tell you. That was intense. Talk about fun that I have had on the radio. Oh, man, I have a take that I want to get to on the Predator season, but let's just go to phones. 615-737-1025 here on the program. By the way, Chase has texted me. Chase McCabe, he's weighed in and says, so basically your definition of a role player is a bummer. They suck. You do realize that you have to have role players on a roster, right? Not everyone is going to be 80 or 90 points and score 40 goals. Granlund does not suck. Granlund sucks. What has happened here, I do not understand what has happened. What has happened here is this weird revisionist history because Granlund went to Dallas, and again, there's something in the water there. Like, if Barry Bonds were on their team, I would think I know what's in the water there. But there's something in Dallas. Now, I'm not allowed to hire their coach, apparently, because he wins too much or something. But there's something about Dallas where these guys go there and they play infinitely better than they ever played here, just like Duchesne. But here's the thing. Again, I feel like I know most of the role players that matter in the NHL. And all the other role players in the NHL, and I said this at the time that the Predators chose to protect Tanner Jeannot over Cale Yarncroke, and I said this because, again, I didn't know that Tampa Bay was going to give up and move the farm in order to get Jeannot, which I think they should regret and probably do because he stinks. But I kept saying this, these bottom six guys that are on your fourth line, you can get a Cole Smith anywhere. You can get a Mark Jankowski anywhere. You can get those players anywhere. For me, if you want to be a different team than last year, it's not about calling some guy that might be a freaking fourth line guy here or should play in Milwaukee. I don't care about that. That's like Robbie Stanley trying to talk up Adam Willsby to me. Willsby's just a guy. He should be in Milwaukee or on the third pair. That's what he is. Those guys do not change your season. If you get into the season and you need a fourth line grinder or you need an extra winger, you can go acquire one at the trade deadline with one of the 9 second round picks you acquire every year. But if you're looking for like a real player who's going to make a difference on your team, those guys do not exist this year in free agency. And when Mikhail Granlund is up there, that tells me none of these guys are big time difference makers. Let me ask you this. When Mikhail Granlund was on the Predators, did he make them any better? Like, were they a good team because they had Mikhail Granlund? No. When he went to San Jose, were they any good? No. He goes to Dallas. Were they good before he got there? Yes. Let's not act like he's Mikko Rantanen in Dallas. I mean, this one guy gave me all easy ones right here. This one guy in the text line says Logan Cooley, that's Utah. Anton Lundell, that's Florida. Matthew, I think it's Nyes, that's Toronto. Ivan Barbashev, that's Vegas. Matty Beniers, that's Seattle. Those are easy. Like, that one's easy. One texter says, easy, they only gave you mainstream guys. Adam Vingan came up with these. You can't get mad at me. How many did Adam come up with, Jake, and how many did you come up with?
I picked two. He picked two. Cole Caulfield was actually, that one was 50-50, me and Adam, so we can both take credit for that one.
Okay. Craig says, Jared, I can name hockey players. Also has to be a top-line player. I can name any team he's ever played for. LOL. Again, why? Name the right guard of the Arizona Cardinals. Jake, give me the right guard for the Arizona Cardinals.
Is it Will Hernandez?
I guess. If you got that right, then you're a good football fan. You're a better football fan than me. Is it actually?
I'm checking.
I mean, if it is, hey, more power to you. Like, I will give.
It's Isaiah Adams. I could not have told you that in a million years.
You don't like football. Nope, not a football fan. Was it Will Hernandez on the Giants?
He was, but I think he signed with the Cardinals at some point.
So, again, like just because I don't watch every hockey game on League Pass and I don't spell favorite with a U does not mean that I don't know this league. And I know Granlund. And so my thing is when it comes to the Predators, when you sign guys that aren't good, I'm like, I hate to say it, but like when you sign a guy I've never heard of, he's probably not good. If I can tell you who Jake McCabe is. 615-737-1025. Okay, so there's a big question that I kind of need the answer to when it comes to the Predators, and I don't feel like the Predators actually have the answer. We'll get to that coming up next. 615-737-1025. That's our phone number. Stillman and Company. What a fun day so far. 1025, 106 for the game. What reassurances did you have that he didn't lose the room? Because if I know you well enough, I know that even if you like a coach, if he loses the room, he's got to go, right? Like, that's just how hockey is.
I'm a big believer, like, once the players turn on you, they just turn on you, or they don't listen. So everybody I talk to, and especially your top players, because that moves the needle for you, they said, we like Andrew. We love Andrew, playing for Andrew. We had a rotten year, didn't go our way. And they said if we just did this or this, I think we could come back and do a real good job. So it wasn't necessarily about the coach. It was about a little bit of themselves, a little bit of, you know, the things that they can do within the, maybe at the system, the little things that they can do in terms of getting off to a better start so we can get and be more productive. And Andrew was the open book. The great thing about Andrew is that he listens. And it's coaches that don't listen, you're going to lose them. You're going to lose the room. But if you listen, I made a lot of mistakes as a coach. But it came from the heart. And players knew that. And they knew that I would listen. And I think that's a quality that Andrew has. And Andrew listened. And he's going to make some tweaks. And he's going to challenge some guys to play a little differently if they have to. But he's going to listen, which is a really good trait as a coach. Because if you're stuck in your ways and it doesn't change, then you're gonna lose the room. And I don't believe he did that.
There you go. That was Barry Trotz on our show talking about the coach with Andrew Burnett. So here's a question I have for the Predators and a question I have for everybody out there, including me and all of us. So I'm going to use the we when it comes to this. So do we think that we know why the Predators know what happened last year? I mean, this is July 1st. This time last year, on July 1, the Predators signed Steven Stamkos, Jonathan Marchessault, and Brady Shea. Now, I was not talking about winning the Cup, but I was talking about getting to the second round of the playoffs. And I believe if you get to the second round of the playoffs, and if you have a competitive series, you know, sometimes you squeak by, you know, a team that's not very good, and you get to the second round of the playoffs, and you get gentlemen swept. That happens. But, I mean, I'm talking about really having a tooth-and-nail second-round series. Once you get there, I mean, you're a Cup competitor. I keep going back to Toronto where Adam Vingan was like, you can't say the Maple Leafs shouldn't tear it down. The Maple Leafs don't get past the second round. But they went to seven games with Florida. They're good. But I keep going back to last year. This time last year, July 1, the Predators were the team of the offseason. And they weren't just the team of the offseason, but they were the team that people said, hey, this team's legit now. They made the playoffs last year. Yossi, Forsberg, Soros, add in Stamkos, Marchessault, Brady Shea. This team is legit. This coach has been a head coach for 2 years. He's been a Jack Adams finalist twice. This team is good. They exceeded expectations last year, and now they've loaded up. And yet, from the second they dropped the puck last year, this team sucked. They lost. And so this is combining their regulation losses with their overtime and shootout losses. But they lost 52 times last year. They had 68 points, and they finished in seventh place. And yet, when it comes to what happened last year and how to fix it going forward, and they say they want to be good this year, I keep wondering, so do we know what happened last year? For instance, let's start with the coach. At any point last season, did it feel like the coach had the answer as far as this group of players was concerned? I would say no. And yet at the same time, Barry Trotz, he's sticking his neck out there for Andrew Burnett. Talking about, I made mistakes when I was a young coach, and I gave Andrew Burnett a lot of work over the offseason, and they had projects, and they worked on him, and, you know, he's a good coach, and, you know, these guys, when I met with him, he didn't lose the room, and yet, he couldn't get through to them. But now we think that he's going to be able to get through to them this year? So when you don't fire the coach, you're saying the coach is not the problem. Now, if it were to come to an official Predators discussion, i.e. a press conference, Barry on the show, Andrew Burnett, they'd say, well, we all are part of the problem. But let's put that to the side. Let's put the PR statements off over there, and let's just be real. If you're not firing the coach, as Barry said, if I thought he'd lost the room, he'd have fired him. That's pretty much what he said, right? He goes, once they stop listening, you can't coach him anymore. So he doesn't think that he lost the room. The second part then has to be the players. Because if it's not the coach, then it's the players. And I thought about all the guys that were on the opening night roster from last year that are no longer on this team or in this organization. Is it really Colton Sisson's fault that this team wasn't good last year? Was it really Jeremy Lazan's fault? Yusso Parson and Phil Tomasino, Tommy Novak, Luke Shin, Alexander Carrier, Dante Fabro, Scott Wedgwood? Is it really their fault that the Predators weren't good last year? Now, Novak had no business being the second line center next to Steven Stamkos, and that was a massive mistake that they made that I fear they're about to make again. But for the most part, to Chase's point, those guys are all role players. Again, you can go get a Colton Sissons. That's why I'm not shedding any tears over them moving on from him, because even though he stands for what sounds like all the right things, seems like, in my dealings with him, a very good guy, and he's a versatile player, and he's a hard worker, and he shows up to the rink every night, you can replace him. Lazan, you can replace him. Parsonen, you can replace him. Luke Shen, again, you can replace him. But the guys that you can't replace, Josi, Forsberg, Marchessault, Brady Shea, those guys are still on the team. So what was the problem last year? Because this team was not a 68-point team on paper. And yet that's exactly what they were during the season. And at no point during last year did it feel like they had the answers to get themselves out of this. They started off 0-5. And when they started off 0-5, Adam Vingan kept saying, no team has ever started off 0-5 and made the playoffs ever. And I was like, okay, well, you know, let's see. This team should make the playoffs. This team has what I think are the players good enough to make the playoffs. Trotz came on the show. He knew the exact same stat that Vingan had thrown around. He said, hey, we think we're going to get this thing right back on the train tracks. They beat Boston at home, and then they went and they beat Columbus and Chicago, and they were 3-5. And I thought to myself, you know what? They're going to be fine. Because they'll lose a game, and then they'll win two in a row, and then they'll lose a game, and then they'll win three in a row, and then they'll be right back on the train tracks, and by around Thanksgiving, they'll probably be hovering the 500 mark, maybe a little bit better, maybe a little bit worse, and then they'll catch a heater, and after that, they'll be in the playoffs. And in February and March, we'll be talking about trying to add a second-line center or something like that. And the exact opposite happened. They got to 3-5, and then, boom, the bottom fell out again. And not only did the bottom fall out, but we're talking about uncompetitive games. Right around the election, they went to Washington and Florida and got their asses absolutely handed to them. I remember listening to Max call a game. I want to say it was part of a back-to-back maybe. And it was they were playing the Florida Panthers, I think, right after they played Washington. They had gotten beat by Washington. It was a close game. It was a tough game. It was a tough loss. They play Florida, and I get in the car. Lindsay and I were meeting with our pediatrician before our son was even born. And I remember we got back in the car, and I just hear, and Max goes, and it's 3-0, Florida. And I'm like, I look at the clock. I'm like, the game just started. What? And it was like that all year. They had an 8-game losing streak in December. They had a lead on the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. They had a lead with like a minute to go, and the terrible Flyers ended up scoring, I believe, an empty netter and then won the game in overtime. They had a stretch where I told Adam Vingan, look, I'm not on board with firing the coach, but if they don't take 2 out of 3 on this Toronto, Montreal, Ottawa trip, then the coach got to go, and they lost all three. And so at no point last year did they ever have it figured out. And at no point last year did it look like Forsberg was heating up, Josi was doing his Norris Trophy type stuff. Brady Shea got better as the year went on. Either that or the rest of the defense was just so bad that it overshadowed him. And Marchessault scored some goals here and there, and Stamkos, you know, had to move to center. But it wasn't like I ever felt like they had the answers last season. And don't even get me started on the goalie, whose no trade clause, no movement clause kicks in today. So that's the one thing I keep coming back to when it goes to the Predators and it goes to Trotz and it goes, okay, we're going to try to be good this year and we're going to try to get this figured out and we're going to try to. And I'm like, do we know what went wrong last year? Like, do we know why these guys that were so celebrated on July 1st last year, coming off 40-goal seasons? Again, it wasn't that Vegas didn't want to re-sign Jonathan Marchessault. It's that Vegas didn't want to give him 5 years or whatever it was. So what happened last year? And I keep looking for the answer. And I just feel like the Predators just kind of shrugged their shoulders and are like, well, we'll see if it was the coach last year. Do you know what happened? 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025. We do, by the way, have a signing. We have a signing I want to talk about. We'll get to that next. Stillman & Company, 615-737-1025, and your phones, 1025, 106 for the game.
Nick Perbix is a 27-year-old defenseman who has spent the past three seasons with the Tampa Bay Lightning. Mm-hmm. He was a late bloomer. He was a sixth-round pick in 2017, but he did not sign, or excuse me, he did not debut with the Tampa Bay Lightning until 2022. So in his three seasons in Tampa Bay, he played 69 games, 77 games, and 74 games. He's a right-handed defenseman.
Finally.
Hallelujah, if you're a Predators fan. He is a right-handed defenseman. He played a mostly third-pairing role for the Lightning last season. But unlike Nick Hague, Nick Perbix two seasons ago was Victor Hedman's number one defensive partner. Victor Hedman, future Hall of Fame defenseman, number one defenseman for the Tampa Bay Lightning. So Nick Perbix has experience playing with a top defenseman. So I could easily see Nick Perbix playing with Roman Josi on the top pair. I really like this signing. I think Nick Perbix fills an absolute need.
There you go. That was Adam thinking today on the Predators' new signing of Nick Perbix. Again, a right-shot defenseman for $2.75 million AAV on a two-year term. Again, I don't have a problem with it. The problem is the guy never plays as far as the big moments are concerned in Tampa Bay. Guy was playing like 11 minutes of ice time in the playoffs. So you're taking a third-pair defenseman in Tampa Bay. You're going to stick him on the first or second pair here. And we shall see if that works one way or another. The one thing that Nick Perbix, the one test that Nick Perbix does not pass is what I call the Mikhail Granlin test. The Mikhail Granlin test. As I've said many times, when the Predators acquired Mikhail Granlin from Minnesota in 2019, I had never heard of him. I went with the flow. Ryan Porth said he was good. The Pred said he was good. People said he was good. Even though I felt like I watched enough Minnesota Wild hockey to know who was good and who was not, I thought, well, maybe he's good and I'm just not this big hockey savant. And instead, I realized, no, he sucks. Mikhail Granlin is off the board in this horrendous day of free agency. Again, horrendous in terms of who's out there to sign. With Mikhail Granlin at number four on the list, that told me that nobody that was out there was probably any good. Mikhail Granlin off the board, 3 years, $7 million for Mikhail Granlin in Anaheim. Now, I can't remember the last time Anaheim was any good, but if Trevor Zegras wasn't good for Anaheim, they think Mikhail Granlin at $7 million is going to be much better? But here's the one thing I will say, as far as Granlin is concerned. Granlin with the Predators was about 6 tenths of a point per game, which is not very good. He's about 8 tenths of a point, or 0.8 points per game, with San Jose and Dallas, which is much better than he was with the Predators. And when you look at the raw numbers, that's where it's really crazy. For instance, with the Predators, Granlin, 162 points in 268 games. Granlin with San Jose, 105 points in 121 games. Granlin in Dallas, 21 points in 31 games. Again, that's much better than 162 in 268. I'll give Granlin credit. In 18 games in the playoffs, he did have 10 points. But, I wouldn't pay $7 million a year for Mikhail Granlin, which is just unbelievable. Back to your phones. 615-737-1025 here on the program. Brian texts in and says, I keep hearing the Predators talk about the 0-5 start and how that messed up the whole season. I'm sorry, but if you can't overcome that, something is definitely wrong in a season as long as the NHL is. So the 0-5 start, and I forget what Adam Vingan's stats were at the time in November of last year, but 0-5 is, you do not make the playoffs if you start 0-5. You know, it's like you got to pick up one along the way. I would agree. I mean, I thought, again, when they started off 0-5 and then they won three in a row and they got to 3-5, I thought, okay, they'll be fine. Am I going to love that? Probably not. But they'll be okay. They'll be fine. They'll get it figured out. They've got a good coach. They've got good veteran players. They'll be fine. Even if I don't love the goalie, and you know that I do not love the goalie, they'll be fine. And then it was like one minefield after another. And then by the end of the year, in fairness to the coach and everybody else, at the end of the year, they were putting some of these freaking terrible players out there. Like Barron and number 8. Uklund or whatever it was, he was awful too. One texter says, everybody sucks to you, Jared. All three players that you're talking about, whether it's Mikhail Granlund, Victor Arvidsson, or Tanner Jeannot, were on teams with different systems. They were also on those teams for years. You can't expect players. Oh, I think he's talking about these players. All three players this year, Marchessault, Brady Shea, and Steven Stamkos, were on teams with different systems. They were also on those teams for years. You can't expect players to come to a new team and expect them to get right away. Well, first of all, Brad Marchand never had a problem with Paul Maurice's system after being dealt at the deadline, and he had been nowhere but Boston as far as his career was concerned. So you kind of lose me on that one. The other thing about the system stuff is if they had been bad for the first month and then they got it figured out, that would be one thing. But it wasn't like Steven Stamkos caught fire halfway through the season because, okay, I got the system down. Now, when Andrew Burnett took over as coach for about the first month and a half, Roman Josi looked like absolute dog crap. And it's hilarious because I said it and Willie and Chris Mason were, how dare you? That's not true. Roman Josi is not absolute dog crap right now. We had Barry Trotz at the press. I said, Barry, what's wrong with Roman Josi? Oh, no, it'll be fine. It'll be fine. And then midway through the season, Josi went back to the Norris Trophy level Josi. And everybody was like, oh, I thought you said Josi sucked this year. I go, he did suck. And then he stopped sucking. And then last year when Brady Shea sucked at the beginning of the year, everybody kept saying, well, remember, Josi really struggled at the beginning of last year. I'm like, no, you people told me Josi didn't stink at the beginning of last year, and I was making it up. But I do think there's something to that. The question is, okay, well, now that they're in the new system, they've been in it for a year, will what you get out of Steven Stamkos and Jonathan Marchessault be what you were supposed to get out of Steven Stamkos and Jonathan Marchessault last year? And I don't know if that's the case. Jeff says, Hague and Pervix are big, steady defensemen, something the Preds absolutely need. Granlund represents what he has always been, what has always been wrong with the Predators' offense. Two-way players that turn into defense-first players. They don't stink as bad as the ideology that puts them in that situation. The one problem I have with that is Laviolette, it was not ever a defensive-first coach. And he played for Laviolette. And he struggled under Laviolette. Now, that may be something to do with the system and him struggling. But Granlund did struggle under Laviolette. And Laviolette, again, was not a defensive-first coach. Trotz, defensive-first hockey. Hines, again, we want to play the whole ice. You know, we want to forecheck all day. We want to all those things, which is why Hines never wins in the playoffs because that style of hockey does not work in the playoffs. But Hines, yes, defensive hockey. And Burnett never coached Granlund, so I can't take anything there. Wes says, why do you make it seem like Adam has a severe sinus infection every time you mimic him? I mean, that's my Adam Vingan impersonation. According to my analytics, the Predators signed Nick Perbix for $2.75 million per season, and my analytics calculate to $2.83 million per season, which is right in line. Does that not sound like Adam? Am I? Just missing a little bit? One texter says, I did not like hearing Trotz say it didn't go our way, as if the whole season is just a game of chance. I like Trotz, but that seems like flimsy accountability. You know, somebody said something to me last week, and I had totally forgotten about this. And in hindsight, I mean, Jake, you know when you hammer somebody and people will say that's unfair?
Yeah.
So I feel like that I didn't hammer Barry Trotz over this was actually unfair. Because I totally forgot about this. And I guess I was, because it was the middle of football season, maybe. I mean, look, no excuses. I don't let the players make excuses. I should not make an excuse for myself. So I don't know, again, if it was football season or if there were other issues at play here. But if you remember at the beginning of the year last year, Barry Trotz, when we were talking about what in the hell is going on with this hockey team. And one of the things Barry Trotz talked about was, well, these guys have just moved to Nashville, and at the beginning of the season, we have a bunch of home games, and these guys have a bunch of guys that are their family members are coming in from out of town and staying at their houses. And somebody said to me last week, they go, I cannot believe you did not rake Trotz over the coals for that. And I'm like, oh my God, that's so true. And it wasn't that I didn't mean to. It's, I guess it just completely slipped my mind. But Barry Trotz did come on this show last year and did try to argue, well, you know, the guys, they got people coming over and staying at their houses, and that's been, we need to get on the road and have a road trip, and we need to. Dude, these are professional hockey players. I don't want to hear they got too many people spending the night at their house. I mean, give me a break. JC says, so you wanted a bad season and a high draft pick, and now you're crying about how bad the players were on the ice. Make up your mind. I don't want a high draft choice next year. When I realized this previous season was completely lost, and boy, it was lost. When I realized it was completely lost, then I said, all right, embrace the tank and stink. Lose. Do not win. Do not. And they got the fifth pick. They got Brady Martin. One texter says, Jared is always mean to Adam. That's not fair. I love Adam. Besides, I think Adam knows I've always been in his corner. 615-737-1025, which is our phone number, 615-737-1025, here on the program if you want to weigh in here on the show. Coming up next, if you think that people here were upset about the Brady Martin pick, the guy everybody here wanted, you should hear how the people that got him are reacting. We'll get to that next. Stillman and Company, 615-737-1025. I am a man of my word, Jake, because yesterday I actually did eat at Taziki's last night. This week's Nashville's best deal is Taziki's. Craving something fresh and flavorful? Taziki's has you covered, from juicy chicken kebabs to perfectly grilled salmon. Every bite is bursting with Mediterranean goodness, and don't even get us started on the homemade sauces and dressings. Get half off a $25 gift card now while supplies last at thegamenational.com/deals. Also, tune into ESPN 94.9 The Fan tonight as the Sounds take on Memphis. Pregame at 6:20, first pitch at 6:35. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenational.com. Sounds baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks and by Family Leisure.
The Predators pick is in at fifth overall.
Oh, my God. Here we
go. Here's Commissioner Gary Bettman.
Here we go.
Nashville Predators, one of Smashville's all-time greats and a 2024 inductee into the Hockey Hall of Fame, I give you Shea Weber.
Thank you. I'm honored to be here making the Nashville Predators' first selection. What a big day for these young athletes. Just the start's beginning for them. So, I mean, there's a journey ahead of you, and I want to wish you guys all the best of luck. I want to say hi to all the fans at Bridgestone. I know you guys probably aren't having any fun. I miss you guys. What a place to play. With that, with the fifth overall selection, the Nashville Predators in the 2025 NHL entry draft select from the Sault Ste. Marie Greyhounds, Brady Martin.
Brady Martin is the Predators' pick at fifth overall. Not one of the two who we expected, but one of the top players in the draft. He was ranked as the number 11 North American skater, but he's been ranked higher than that, and he was a player that was heavily rumored to go fourth overall to Utah. So Brady Martin, from the Sioux, who is not at the draft because he is on his farm in Ontario, too busy choring to be there. The good Canadian boy, Brady Martin, is your newest pred.
This guy is a savage. He's if you want to get
one of
player,
your guys too, Mace. Mace was talking about him. He's all fired up about him.
Yeah, but he's a guy that's if you want to talk about guys that's like a cut in the mold of a Tkachuk, Brady or Matthew. He's got skill. He's more of a straight line player, I would say, than a creator. The guy hits everything that moves, and he's an absolute savage. You know, again, we're talking, it's tough to pass up a James Higgins type of a skill set, but you're getting a different kind of element to the game. The guy can score. He's not, I wouldn't say, the biggest playmaker or creator or driver, but he's a guy, he's going to get things done. So this is the identity I think the Predators wanted to go for.
There you go. That was Chris Mason. He loves the pick, James Higgins. I mean, excuse me, Brady Martin, not James Higgins. Most people wanted James Higgins. So this has just been brought to my attention. I didn't even know this. Barry Trotz has a press conference coming up at 4 o'clock. I do not think that will be live streamed. I do not think that that is something that we can get our hands on. But I am kind of fascinated by what Barry Trotz is going to say. And this would be my number one question when it comes to Trotz. And this press conference that, again, the Predators put out around 2:15 that they were going to have this 4 o'clock press conference. And again, I can't just like leave the studio to go run the press conference. But the one thing that I do wonder is this when it comes to the Predators and what Barry Trotz is going to say. Number one, are they done with Perbix? Like, is that the one signing and now they're done? And number two, and more importantly, what are they going to do about a second line center? And I know Barry said on the program last week that he wanted Fedor Svechkov in that spot at some point during the season. I think the exact line, or I'm paraphrasing it, but the line was, you know, I want to get him ready to be the number two center at least by some point in the season. And the reason I ask this question is because that was one of the big mistakes they made last year. They signed Tommy Novak to the extension. I didn't think it was a bad extension. 3.5 over 3 years, given the fact that Novak still wasn't totally proven, but it's shown a little something-something. And so they extend Novak. But in the playoffs, when the boys got big, Tommy Novak did nothing. I mean, he was just nothing in that playoff series. And so they signed Stamkos and Marchessault, and they say, we're going to give the first crack at the second line center position to Tommy Novak. And I was thinking, do you have an insurance policy? Like, if that doesn't work, is there a second option? And the answer was no. With Fedor Svechkov, he had 17 points last season across 52 games. I don't know if Fedor Svechkov's ready to be on the same line with Steven Stamkos. And if you want Steven Stamkos to be Steven Stamkos, you got to give him a little help. And I don't want to see Stamkos at center next year. And I'm not sure Eric Halla is good enough. So is there kind of a backup insurance policy plan of if Svechkov can't do it, then this is who we're going to put out there? I also do wonder what he'll say about the defensive pairings. My guess will be that Perbix, who they signed today, again, I'm fine with the contract. He's a third pair defenseman in Tampa Bay, but he'll be relied on more here. They'll give him a chance. We'll see. I assume Perbix will go with Brady Shea, and Barry will say that. And then I assume that they're going to probably put Justin Barron with Roman Josi, even though Barron's awful. And then Haig with whom? But what I think they could do, because I don't want to see Justin Barron play, I do wonder where Barry Trotz is on this idea of playing Andrew Gibson on that third pair. Gibson and Mullendijk come up together on the third pair. Mullendijk on the left, Gibson on the right. Haig on the left, Josi on the right. Shea on the left, Perbix on the right. What do you think? The other thing that I guess I do kind of wonder is right now, is Brady Martin penciled in as the number two center for this team? Is that on the table? Or is he for sure going back to juniors or going to Milwaukee or whatever? So we will see what Barry Trotz has to say. We'll keep you updated on all of that. Again, I didn't know when we started the show that there was going to be a 4 o'clock press conference. So we'll see if anything shakes free. And I do wonder, does that mean that they're done in free agency for Trotz to have a 4 p.m. press conference on the opening day of free agency? We shall see. 615-737-1025, which is our phone number on the program. 615-737-1025. I do have a football topic today that I want to get to. I feel validated. I feel vindicated. And I feel like everybody can say, Jared, you were right about one specific thing in the NFL. Because I think even the people that have skin in the game are admitting, Jared, you were right. We'll get to that next. 615-737-1025, be caller 5 at 615-737-1025, and you will win a pair of tickets to see Live plus Collective Soul at First Bank Amphitheater on Sunday, August 10th. Good luck there. Stillman and Company, 1025, 106 for the game.